Third and 11, Mahomes will try to run and get it. Ball gets knocked out. Mahomes looking to flip, takes it in for the touchdown. Garoppolo keeps play action, passes caught. Juszczyk, touchdown. Garoppolo keeps, throws, pass, Juszczyk. He is short of the end zone.
And Juszczyk gets a big play off of it.
Hand off here, it's Mostert. He is in for the touchdown. Just needs some Mahomes magic. Launches down the middle, Hill, open, caught. And they get it, Kansas City, the big play. First and goal, pass, open, touchdown, Kelce, Chiefs are back in it. Mahomes throws, pass, caught, Williams, touchdown, Kansas City. Now second and six, Williams makes a cut. And will roll into the end zone for the touchdown. No flags.
It's the Mac Attack with Ryan Big Mac McKinnell on 920 The Game.
I'm going to go get the biggest cheeseburger you've ever seen. Prime, the biggest one. And might be a double.
Yeah, that's right. We are all together. Fat People Unite. You can't hold this down. It may take 21 years to either lose that weight, win that Super Bowl, whatever the case may be. Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs, 50 years since Super Bowl IV. The big red man gets it done. Red is a terrible, I say it all the time, red is a terrible color for fat people, but if you're winning a Super Bowl, it does not matter. Go get your cheeseburger. Andy Reid, welcome into the Mac Attack. I am Ryan McKinnell. We are here on 920 The Game. It is a Super Bowl Monday. Obviously, we got plenty to get to. Maybe a little bit of the Vegas Golden Knights at the end because they had a nice weekend. But no one nicer, or I should say nobody had a nicer weekend than the one and only Andy Reid and the Kansas City Chiefs. And that's where we are starting off. Magnum, what's up, buddy? How you doing?
Well, the good news for Andy Reid is based on the current trend, he will have an opportunity to get multiple cheeseburgers when the Kansas City, Kansas Chiefs go to the White House for hamburgers and covfefe.
Yes, and as you said, the state of Kansas. Oh, man, we'll touch on that in a second. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. It's Missouri,
I mean, look, they did Kansas proud.
Yes.
Those
Jayhawk fans are overwhelmed.
And yes, they are celebrating in the streets of Lawrence, celebrating in the streets of Topeka. Burning down buildings in Wichita, celebrating the Kansas City Chiefs winning the Super Bowl.
Well, they made their state proud. They made their state proud. Magnum, I don't know if we're going to be around to get a double cheeseburger here in a little bit. I walk in and you're sick. And we talked about this last week. What was the incubation period? You just got back from Japan. What was the incubation period of coronavirus?
What did you say, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, but they say that
it's anywhere from a couple days to 2 weeks. Your signs are just showing a little bit earlier.
No. They say it's flu-like symptoms. I don't have flu-like
not
symptoms.
Not yet. Tomorrow you will.
Maybe
sweats
I
will start.
Yeah.
And you start evacuating from both ends. And then the door here to the studio is closed. It's a small studio.
Yes, yes.
I'll keep an eye on that. If I died, just know that I loved you. I'm talking about Andy Reid. I loved you, Andy Reid.
Listen, only 2% of the patients who've gotten it have died. So and they've been not healthy people to begin with. So
you're dead?
Well, basically, yeah. We're screwed.
I like how you threw us in the healthy category.
Yes, we're screwed.
I mean, we are young-ish compared to some of the people who are dying of coronavirus. But
yes.
No, we're toast. We're toast. It's all over.
It is over.
Well, it's all over for the San Francisco 49ers. We'll get to Jimmy G, the San Francisco 49ers, and the talk around them coming up in a second. But I got to say, man, first of all, I loved everything about this Super Bowl. I really enjoyed the halftime show. I enjoyed the commercials. I enjoyed the pregame. We'll get to all that. But nothing more enjoyable than watching Andy Reid, at least for me, finally get his Super Bowl for a lot of reasons, right? I mean, he came so close in Philadelphia. By and large, he is handled himself throughout his career with the utmost dignity and respect and honor by all accounts, truly beloved by the players that played for him, the people that worked alongside him, the coaches that coached for him, truly good guy, right? Put up with a lot of drama when he was in Philadelphia, a lot of naysayers, a lot of people that said he couldn't get it done, he couldn't win the big one, he couldn't possibly be a Super Bowl winning coach, he's not a Hall of Famer, despite winning with Alex Smith in Kansas City. Let's mention that as well. It's not really, I guess that is kind of a dig on Alex Smith, but I'm just saying, wherever Andy Reid's gone, he gets it done, and he got it done last night. And the first thing I thought of, Magnum, was that Kansas City radio host earlier in the year. Do you remember that story?
I'm trying to think. No, well, I don't.
Okay, I'll tell you this. I'm not going to mention the guy's name because I don't really think it matters. But at the start of the season, when all the news was going around at Tariq Hill and the audio was released, the first wave of audio, remember there was a second wave of audio that kind of shaped the situation a little bit differently than we initially had heard. But this particular Kansas City radio host who got pulled off the air after these comments essentially suggested, posed the question, or said, it wasn't a question, it was a statement, and I'm paraphrasing, that Andy Reid couldn't be a leader of men and couldn't lead his team in the locker room because his son died of a heroin overdose.
I do remember. Okay, I do recall that, yes.
Yeah. And I was nuclear when that happened, mainly because of the culture of media. And I don't go after other radio personalities. We've talked about it before. It's not an easy job to do. And the pressure to bring opinion and engaging talk it's there, right? But that is the direct result of this culture run absolutely run amok and run wild. There is this cloud hanging over sports that sometimes gets brought in and sometimes becomes a little bit more prevalent when we forget, not we, when someone forgets that it is just sports, right? Like, to draw that comparison, true, untrue, doesn't matter. It was like Mike Krzyzewski last week. He lashed out at his fan base and then gave an incoherent, rambling response as to why he did it. He was confused.
Well, he's a jerk.
He's a jerk, but that's beside the point, right? He did a jerk thing, and then by trying to explain himself, he used the death of Kobe Bryant as a reason as to why he lashed out. He was emotional. He wasn't himself. He was really rocked by the death of Kobe Bryant. Doesn't matter. That may be true. Again, doesn't matter. That's not something you say out loud. That's not something you bring into the conversation because it's sports. In Mike Krzyzewski's case, you lashed out the fans at the court because you were emotional and you didn't keep it together and you looked like a D-bag, right?
Well,
like,
and the thing is, he's a guy who at his stage in life should be able to control those emotions. Well,
absolutely, right? And the same thing can be said about this radio host in Kansas City. Doesn't matter if it's true.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting, and it goes beyond sports. You're bringing in the death of a family member.
Yeah.
So when I think back to everything he's dealt with, Andy Reid, the criticisms in Philadelphia, the criticisms in Kansas City, all of that, and I see him rejoicing last night, happy with his wife and embracing this fat guy, Hawaiian t-shirt wearing, ham sandwich eating, walrus mustache having, Andy Reid. I'm joking, obviously. Hey, fat guys unite, right? I'm a big guy. I see Andy Reid. That's nice. But truly, from a humanity standpoint, to see Andy Reid enjoy this win, and we talked about this last week, motivations, right? What teams, what were they playing for? And it felt like Kansas City had an extra little piece of oomph in them because of Andy Reid, because of the way the players got behind him. San Francisco had Joe Staley. We saw Joe Staley after the game last night, distraught, and understandably so, right? But the flip side of that is the joy of winning, and it was great to see Andy Reid take away the Super Bowl trophy. And it was also great to see, Magnum, the beginning of what seemingly is a new era in the NFL.
Yeah, I know I mentioned it last week. It almost felt like this was the kind of game where the torch was going to be passed.
Well, and that's why, full disclosure, you and I both went heavy on Kansas City.
Yeah, I mean, we both were on Kansas City. Yeah. We both won on Kansas City.
And now,
there was a moment where I thought about doing an in-game, like almost with 10 minutes ago in the fourth quarter, because I said, you know what? Kansas City's not going to come back. I just felt like San Francisco was in full control. Mahomes threw that interception. At that point, it kind of felt like the game was over.
Oh, well, I don't know if it felt...
I get what you're saying. I'll say this. It certainly felt like San Francisco's game.
Yes.
If you're that first half, even into the third quarter, that looked like a San Francisco 49ers tailor-made, ready-to-win victory.
They were in full control. Defense was really doing a number on Mahomes. He looked rattled. He was throwing the ball behind guys. He was overthrowing guys.
Yep. Until
Jimmy G looked pretty solid.
Until he didn't.
Yes.
Until he did it. And that was the thing with Pat Mahomes. I got to be honest. When the in-game hit, I didn't have any in-game in my account because I spent it all on props and I didn't have – we'll get into betting here in a little bit. We will talk about our bets and our failures. Yes, thankfully I hammered Kansas City because the rest of my betting was horrible. Also, I should mention, coming up here in a minute, a little bit, I should say about 20 minutes, I want to talk about the Super Bowls, the commercials and all that. Or excuse me, the commercials, the Super Bowl halftime show. And I do want to get into – the last weekend in Vegas for the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. So I don't know how many people got out there to celebrate, well, but I didn't.
There's one in Miami.
Yeah.
If you weren't paying attention yesterday.
I don't care about that. Does the one in Miami have Circle Bar?
No,
does the one in Miami have the joint? Does the one in Miami have 25 years of memories?
I don't know, but their hotel looks like a guitar.
Cool. It did look cool. My wife pointed that out when we were – I didn't even know that. I saw it last night for the first time. But back to Pat Mahomes. Every time I tried to picture this game and the way it was going to go, I mean, stats aside, sometimes the flow of sports is like palpable. You can feel it and taste it almost. You can reach out and touch it. That's what this game felt like. Every single time I tried to envision this game and the Niners winning, I couldn't do it. Now, when Mostert and everyone were doing their thing and that offense was clicking and they were running the ball and the schemes were lining up and Jimmy G was doing seemingly at different points an okay job of managing the game, it looked to be okay. Well, maybe the moment's a little too big for Pat Mahomes. Maybe the Super Bowl spotlight has caught up to him. It's understandable. He's young, right? 24 years old. That's to be expected. Lights just got a little too bright. Well, that wasn't the case because by the end of the game, Pat Mahomes did what Pat Mahomes does. And at 24 years old and only 138 days, Mahomes becomes the youngest player in NFL history to win an MVP award and a Super Bowl. The previous youngest was Emmitt Smith. Just in case you're wondering what kind of rarefied air Pat Mahomes finds himself in. He's quarterback to top. This is from Nick Wright. I love this. He's won an MVP. He's quarterback to top five scoring offense in NFL history. He's led the fourth greatest playoff comeback ever. And again, in a quarter, which is true. He's led the second greatest comeback in Super Bowl history behind Tom Brady and the Falcons comeback a couple years ago. And he's a Super Bowl MVP. This is about what I expected heading into this game. Mahomes magic. The story of Pat Mahomes. It was almost like, because he's been behind in every single game this postseason, it was almost like you knew it was going to happen, that he was going to fall behind because for whatever reason, that's what happens with this Kansas City Chiefs team. And then Pat Mahomes would turn it on. And at 24 years old, to be able, and as a quarterback, this isn't Major League Baseball or some other sport where, I mean, we're talking about the physical of the physical, the violent of the violent, and the stage of the Super Bowl is as big as it gets. To sit here and almost expect that out of a 24-year-old, Magnum, I think it sets up the next decade in this sport. Assume, listen, I'm not trying to be hyperbolic here, but I wasn't trying to be hyperbolic before. Sometimes a player just comes along and they do things early that shows you, okay, they're a cut above the rest. LeBron James is one of them. He came on and he was just doing things he shouldn't have been doing. Zion Williamson, I mean, it's early, but he's doing things he shouldn't have been doing. Calvin Johnson when he came in. Julio Jones when he came in. Saquon Barkley when he came in. I mean, you can just go on and on and on.
Well, I think why this feels different is because if you look at the all-time great quarterbacks. Now, obviously, I wasn't alive for Terry Bradshaw. I don't know what adversity he had to face in Pittsburgh before they went on their dynasty run. But you look at some of the all-time great quarterbacks. They had to fail before they got to that next step, right? It took Brett Favre.
That's a great point.
How many tries to beat the Cowboys? Tom Brady, he was carried by his defense that first go-around.
And
everyone forgets Drew Bledsoe was the guy who won the AFC title game, not Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. So Pat Mahomes, the only failure you could look at was them losing on the road in New England last year.
Which a game that they should have won.
They probably should have won. There were some things that maybe didn't go their way. Right. But
can you imagine we'd be talking about back-to-back Super Bowl winning Kansas City Chief MVP Pat Mahomes?
Yeah, I mean, that's insane because they clearly would have beaten the Rams last year.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like when you look at the all-time greats, just from this generation, they've all had to fail at some point. Pat Mahomes.
He starts this way.
Second season as a starter. Super Bowl champ.
Second biggest comeback in Super Bowl history. And he did it in a quarter in the fourth.
Yeah. I mean, and we mentioned you're not being hyperbolic. Well, I think it was clear Lamar Jackson was the MVP.
No question. But
Pat Mahomes is the best quarterback in the NFL.
I think it was the weekend because it happened on a Friday or Saturday, whatever it was. But the Monday we came in, listen, we said it. Lamar Jackson is unquestionably the MVP of this season. You can't say anything else because it's unarguable. It's a non-starter, right? But we both agreed that if you were going to take one player to start an entire franchise around, that player is Pat Mahomes.
Yeah. I mean, going back to the adversity thing, Peyton Manning, how long did it take Peyton Manning to get there? Right? Drew Brees. He had to struggle in San Diego for all those years, goes to New Orleans.
Get counted out.
Lost to the Bears in the NFC title game the one year.
Yep.
You know, so there's all these great quarterbacks. Pat Mahomes, he's already great. The other guys had to take some time to get there.
And we're already, as fans, expecting greatness out of him.
Yeah.
And then he lives up to it. Well, that's another thing. He lived up to the hype. Exactly. That's another thing. To have the expectations and then to live up to them when they're so lofty and so ridiculous and so, again, defying history. The youngest at 24 years old at 138 days, Mahomes is the youngest in NFL history to win an MVP in a Super Bowl.
And then the other thing is, like, you look at this as his second year as a quarterback, right? The first year you throw out, he sat the whole year.
Right.
Everyone was kind of expecting him to take a step back, right? Oh, there's that sophomore jinx.
They'll get tape on him. Figure him out. Right, right, right.
You know, the teams in the division have better defenses now. And there was a period in the middle of the season. Remember, he had the knee injury. Kansas City was kind of struggling a little bit out of the gate. They weren't playing at where we expected them to be. The Madden curse.
Yeah. This was the opposite
of
the Madden curse. In fact, it took a guy like Pat Mahomes to come by and bury it.
Yes.
No, it's dead. There's no Madden curse. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. The Madden curse has been put 6 feet under and with authority. As we're sitting here talking about the magic of Pat Mahomes and the lore, I mean, the stats around this game and this season and the first two seasons of his career, starting only 36 games in his career, are truly jaw-dropping.
Well, you look at his numbers as a starter.
Right. I've already read some of them. Here's another one. Mahomes was 5-0 when trailing by double digits this season, including three times in the postseason. He is the first quarterback in NFL history to lead three double-digit comebacks in a single postseason. That's courtesy of Adam Schefter. What? Five double-digit comebacks? 5-0 when losing by double digits in this regular season, and then three times he did it in the postseason, never been done ever.
Well, the thing is, you just, at this stage, how do you ever count that team out?
I'm betting them.
You can't.
Because
A, they know that they have the capability to come back. I mean, San Francisco, they weren't a pushover team.
I hope they drop to like 0-3 to start the season next year.
Oh, and the odds on them.
Yes. I mean, I'm not going to do it now.
No, but
I got to wait for some adversity.
But we are witnessing the birth, and it's so premature for me to even suggest it. This is going to be a dynasty.
It feels like that. And I'll say this. There's probably people out there rolling their eyes, and I get it. I understand.
10 years from now, if this is the only Super Bowl they ever win,
right,
come at us, please.
Sure.
There, right now, there is no team in the NFL that I feel has the personnel that this team has.
Well,
granted, they'll lose some pieces.
I was going to say, Mahomes is going to get $300 million. He's going to get the biggest contract in the history of the NFL.
What if he doesn't, though? What if he does the Brady route?
Well, then he's better than we thought.
You know,
he's even more amazing.
What if he says, Hulu's going to be paying me to do commercials?
Yeah.
Chunky Soup. By the way, how great would a Chunky Soup commercial be with him and his mom?
Oh, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Because his mom, Not a bad looking woman.
Oh, easy. We haven't even got to the halftime show yet. I can already feel the creepiness into the studio.
Here's the other thing I love about Pat Mahomes.
It's either that or the coronavirus.
All the pictures that you've seen of him, he showed up to the stadium yesterday wearing a Mets jersey.
Oh.
He was wearing his dad's Mets jersey.
That is pretty cool.
His mom tweeted out a picture of him as a little boy wearing a Mets jersey. As a Mets fan, I feel like this is a win for us.
So the question now shifts to the San Francisco 49ers. Did Jimmy G lose the game, or did Pat Mahomes win the game? And where does the blame fall? Kyle Shanahan and his clock management at the end of the first half? I think that was a direct result of not trusting Jimmy Garoppolo. Had he had belief in Jimmy Garoppolo, well, then, hell, he would have rolled him out there to run that, you know, two-minute drill in this case, essentially a one-minute drill. But with all timeouts, very odd. Also odd that Kansas City didn't kick the call timeouts. Beside the point, really, as we get along and we get into this conversation surrounding Jimmy G, not all of that was beside the point. But the blame, right? Where does the blame fall? I think that is a fair critique. When you're looking at a guy, Jimmy Garoppolo, who's not in Pat Mahomes' shoes,
do you really have to lay blame, though, or do you just give credit to Kansas City? Because I think
when you look at some of the tape, and Brian Baldinger has a great breakdown on Twitter.
Yeah.
For those of you guys that don't know, I retweeted it. It's on my Twitter, at Ryan McKinnell. You can go check it out. It's pretty damning. It's a few different plays where, inexcusably, Jimmy Garoppolo misses wide open and really poor form. A couple of the reads are involving George Kittle. Hold on.
Pat Mahomes did the same thing. He missed some really bad throws,
right,
too.
Right, but again, he lost. Or excuse me, Jimmy Garoppolo lost, well, right? Well, and he didn't have any game-breaking capabilities. There's not a play that I can point to with Jimmy Garoppolo that was like, there's a all-pro quarterback. There's a guy who can take the game into his hands and get it done. Now, we'll get into this here in a second because I think we'll have a good discussion on Jimmy Garoppolo. But I want you to hear what defensive lineman Frank Clark, as we're talking about belief in Jimmy Garoppolo, well, whether Kyle Shanahan has it or not, we may not find out for another couple years. But Frank Clark is very confident that Jimmy Garoppolo is trash. This is Frank Clark after the game.
We knew the challenge of the checkdowns. You paying the guy $140 million, $130 million, whatever he's getting paid, man.
Go ahead.
He got to throw the ball. Obviously, he didn't do that. They threw for about 200 yards on checkdowns. That ain't enough to win the game against us.
And don't matter
what it is.
We're Super
Bowl champions.
Don't matter what it is.
My boy, the offense.
You can't tell us nothing.
Can't tell us nothing.
That was Frank Clark and Travis Kelce chiming in to be like a Legion of Doom kind of pro wrestling promo, but it was very check down heavy, Magnum. It was poorly managed from clock management standpoint. I will also not understand how, in the most important point of the game, as the third quarter ended and we started into the fourth quarter, that Kyle Shanahan essentially just poof. Where did the run go?
Well, let's
they stopped pushing the run.
Let's look at Kyle Shanahan. What game or who was he the offensive coordinator of recently?
That's fair.
And
2016.
What happened to that team? I don't know if you lay the blame on Jimmy Garoppolo. I think Garoppolo played good enough to win the game. I think some of the calls, first of all, all the stuff they were doing in the first half with Deebo Samuel was working.
Oh, it was great.
Why did they get away from that?
Right, because they didn't have. Because after a few blatant misses, and not just blatant misses.
Yeah, but they were
blatant
running.
Misses, it doesn't matter.
They were running jet screens.
You're talking about blatant misses, not just blatant misses and misreads. You're talking about blatant misses that involve your clear-cut best receiver. There were a few instances where George Kittle was wide open, making it worse. Not only was Kittle wide open, you can see Garoppolo's reads. He's looking directly at him and decides to go into double coverage or a situation that put. I mean, again, there were more than a few instances of Garoppolo making terrible reads, even in the midst of great protection and time to make the decision, and he just blew him. Kyle Shanahan saw that. That's why Kyle Shanahan was sitting there with his butthole puckered up, having no idea what he's going to be doing. Like, he doesn't know think about if you're Kyle Shanahan's position. Your quarterback, Jimmy Garoppolo, is out there missing wide open reads and wide open checkdowns to George Kittle, your best receiver. Like, he's wide open. That doesn't give you a lot of confidence, right, in doing much else. But it does beg the question, where did the game plan go? Because I think that's fair. I do think Kyle Shanahan deserves a fair amount of criticism.
Thing. Yeah. San Francisco's defense was dominating for 3 quarters and 5 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Then they get this huge play where it's thrown short. Tyreek Hill traps the ball. You think it's a first down. San Francisco challenges.
Mm-hmm.
They decide the ball did hit the ground. Then it did. What happened on the very next play? Where was that vaunted San Francisco defense? This big physical team. It wasn't so much a San Francisco loss as it was Kansas City just being better when it mattered the most. And that's why I felt they were going to win the game because they were better at the skill positions. And I felt that their defense was pretty underrated coming into the game.
I agree with you on
Kansas
that.
Kansas
City's D is definitely underrated.
Up and made the plays when they needed to.
I think you and I, we agree on that. Kansas City definitely
can
make the case.
I just don't think it's fair to lay the blame on Jimmy Garoppolo. Because I felt that if San Francisco, if that pass to Tyreek Hill is broken up or it's underthrown, San Francisco's looking at a 4th and 10. If they get a stop, they win the game.
Well, coulda, woulda, shoulda. But Jimmy Garoppolo hits Emmanuel Sanders on that wide open deep ball with a minute 40 left, game over.
It's not woulda, coulda, shoulda. It's Kansas City was just a better team. But they weren't.
Jimmy Garoppolo was a terrible quarterback last
night. But for 3.5 quarters, Pat Mahomes was a terrible quarterback.
I wouldn't say he was terrible. They were right in it. No, he wasn't great. That is more of the expectations of what we expect from Pat Mahomes. We were going into this game to expect Pat Mahomes to do incredible things, and for the first 3 quarters, he looked human. Jimmy Garoppolo just looked like Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, but that's what they do. That's how they win games.
Right.
But
the question now sits for 49ers fans, is it going to be enough? Because as Frank Clark pointed out, $130 million, $140 million. If you're Kyle Shanahan and you're the 49ers, is Jimmy Garoppolo the guy to get you the job done? And listen, maybe if you add some pieces on defense, Sherman's getting older. I mean, you build off Bosa, no question. Bosa had a monster game at different points. He really was.
The thing is, I have a lot more confidence saying San Francisco and Jimmy Garoppolo will get back than I do saying the Rams will get back.
Okay.
You
might have picked the only other highly paid quarterback in the entire league where I think is worse than him.
I look around at the NFC quarterbacks and the NFC teams.
Yeah.
All right. You look at Aaron Rodgers, Drew Brees. Those guys are at the end of the line.
Russell Wilson's not.
All right, but San Francisco, they same division too. They were able to take care of their business against Seattle.
Yeah,
they did what they needed to do in Seattle. They went there and won that game with the division on the line. They've blown out the Packers twice, absolutely stomped them in that NFC title game. They went to New Orleans. They beat the Saints. Remember, that was Jimmy Garoppolo leading that drive.
It's a great point. And one thing is true. When they stick to their guns and they play their brand of football, Jimmy Garoppolo can absolutely be a really solid game manager. I mean, I'll take Garoppolo over Mitch Trubisky.
I think a lot of people would. I think a lot of teams would take Garoppolo as their quarterback.
We'll find out. We'll see. $130, $140 million for a guy that just manages the game.
Let me ask you this. Yeah. Would you take Dak Prescott on the 49ers? Did they win that game last night with Dak Prescott?
That's so tough. That's tough.
Because I don't think they do.
I'll say this. Prescott has more big game capability. Garoppolo is more consistent.
And I like the
and
fact
I will
that
take, Dak, when you have a team like that, I will take consistency over big game capability.
I like the guy who has the ability to spread the ball around. Look, the kid from Harvard almost had 2 touchdowns last night. How often do you see fullbacks receiving and by the way, I felt bad for him because he didn't have a cartoon after he scored. All the other players had cartoons.
Comic book logo.
Yeah, except that. What's up, Fox? You got something against educated guys from Harvard?
Maybe.
Can't even say his name.
We didn't go to Harvard.
It starts with a J and somehow it's a Y.
Again, we didn't go to Harvard. We're going to come back here. We're going to take a short break. But when we come back, we want to get into the commercials. We want to get into the halftime show. I want to say goodbye to the Hard Rock Hotel as well. And We got some tickets again to Opium over there at the Cosmopolitan that we're looking to give away. We're going to give you a chance to win them. 365-9200 is the number, so write that down, and then we will give you the trivia question as to how you can call in. You can talk to Magnum, too, and figure out if you won tickets to see Opium at the Cosmopolitan, one of the best shows in Vegas. This is a Mac Attack. Plenty more here on the Super Bowl when we come back.
It's Jake from State Farm.
What are you wearing, Jake from State Farm?
Khakis? Hey, do they ever ask you what you're wearing?
Yeah.
Who got next?
New Doritos Cool Ranch just got cooler.
I ain't dancing.
I've got new Mountain Dew Zero Sugar with the same refreshing taste as the original.
And that feels pretty darn good. Oh.
So it's time to say goodbye to TV as you know it. But me? I'm not going anywhere.
Toto? I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
The Mac Attack returns on 920 The Game.
Shakira, Shakira.
I never really knew that she could dance like this.
Yes, Shakira. Thank you, Shakira and J-Lo, for a very memorable halftime show. Greatest of all time, pump the damn brakes. We're back here on the Mac Attack. I am Ryan McKinnell. Before we get to the halftime show, should mention that the party's not over. It's continuing this Wednesday, Kansas City, getting down. They're having their Super Bowl parade. Again, that's Kansas City, Missouri. Kansas City, Missouri.
Stop. Come on.
Not Kansas City, Kansas.
Come on.
As some people like to think. And by some people.
Just stop it. Just stop. Come on.
What?
We all know it's the great state of Kansas. That picture I saw with the black Sharpie drawn around Kansas City, that tells me everything I need to know.
It is pretty crazy. President of the United States sent out a congratulations last night for the great city of Kansas City residing in the state, the great state of Kansas.
What's worse, that or the people defending that?
I don't know, man.
I mean,
I make mistakes all the time.
Yeah, but
I'm not the president.
I see people referencing Obama making the 58 states or 57 states, whatever it was. That was a slip of the tongue. It's not like there's a track record.
Or the opportunity to proofread. Before you hit send,
yeah,
and just wait. Anyway, yes.
By the way, did you happen to see? Actually, I'll hold it because I think you're going to get to something later. But
well, I heard Tom Brady in there, Tommy, trolling everybody.
Did we not call that?
We did. I didn't. I mean, we didn't call that he was going to have a commercial.
No, but we called that he was trolling everybody.
That he was trolling everybody. Yes. Which is exactly what that. Now that we hear from that commercial last night, that is exactly what that post.
Oh, absolutely.
Had to tie into that we talked about last week. What's he talking about? And he did it. He created a firestorm. He got everything that he wanted out of that. But before we get to the commercials, we should talk a little bit of betting because, first of all, yes, Magnum, you and I were both heavy on the Chiefs as far as the actual game itself. But I got slaughtered, absolutely annihilated on props. I went 0-9. I would have went 1-9. Had there not been those kneel downs by Pat Mahomes at the end of the game, thankfully, I only bet a very small amount on the props. So it wasn't life or death for me. But, I mean, just from a numbers standpoint, I really would have liked to have walked away with one. For those of you that don't know, more money. This is David Payne Purdom from ESPN. More money was bet on Pat Mahomes' rushing yards than any other prop at William Hill. As we know, it opened at 29.5, but was bet all the way up to 36.5. Mahomes had 44 yards. At the end of the game, we were good. We were way in the over. But that final drive, he took three kneel downs, which lost 15 yards, leaving him at 29. So everyone lost if you had the Pat Mahomes rushing over because of three kneel downs. That was my one. That was my unicorn. That was my golden goose. And I went 0-9. How'd you do?
Not much better. The big one for me was 2.5 players throwing a pass.
Almost got it.
Almost got it.
Sorry, yep. Buddy.
Yeah, I was close. I just had a feeling there would be some trickery.
It usually is in the Super Bowl, I feel like. Yeah.
But, boy, I would have liked to prop on Tyreek Hill over receiving yards, or I mean, I don't know what it was, but I'm sure that went over. Or receptions by fullbacks from Harvard.
Well, hopefully you guys out there did better than we do. Yeah. What'd you do for the game? You stayed home?
Yeah, I just stayed home, watched it. Watched it with the boy.
Okay. So
although you know what? I had that moment yesterday where I realized I failed as a father. My son wanted to watch the Puppy Bowl instead of the Super Bowl. Yeah. And I explained to him that,
well, you know what?
You could do you know what? Maybe I didn't fail as a father.
I wouldn't say you fail as a father. Yeah. He likes animals. Nothing wrong with that.
And I told him, you know what? You watch what you want to watch. You can go upstairs and watch the Puppy Bowl if you want.
That's right. But I'm an adult. The big screen is staying with Shakira and J-Lo.
And I said I will keep the Cheetos and the chips and the chicken fingers down here. And
sacrifices.
Yes.
Sacrifices.
He split time 50-50.
Speaking of Cheetos and chicken fingers and chips, I actually did something I don't do every year. A lot of the times I stay home at the house and kind of hang out with the wife and the dog. But I don't know. I got a bug in my ass this year. I wanted to go out. So I ended up going out to the House of Blues, and they did a legit party. It was really, really, really well done. I was concerned about the sound. It almost blew my eardrums out. I was like, am I going to be able to, to hear the commercials, and am I going to have to talk about the next day on the show? I just don't want to be partying the whole time. They had all three levels of the House of Blues. They had a bunch of different setups. They had the restaurant that was taken care of. Then they had the, three different levels. But I was inside the music hall, where I have seen numerous shows. My first show was there, Soulfly and Rammstein, 1997.
Oh, I wasn't at that show.
It was right when Mandalay Bay opened.
I've seen both of those bands. Yeah, I think both at the House of Blues,
actually. Yeah, it was 97 or 98. It was right after the Mandalay had opened. That was my first show at the House of Blues. So to see, 20-some-odd years later, and to sit there to see it transform. I don't know how long they've been doing it for the Super Bowl party, but to see it transformed into a multi-level. First level had an all-you-can-eat buffet. Third level had an all-you-can-eat buffet.
I like the food there,
too. Oh, it was awesome.
It's very underrated,
I think it was really good.
It is good.
I found myself, I woke up today. I haven't eaten since 3 p.m. yesterday. Now, full disclosure, when I eat, I'm a leftover guy. So I'll order, not heavy, but sometimes I'll order, an appetizer and a meal, fully knowing that my appetizer is kind of going to be my meal. And anyway, I take a lot home in doggy bags. But I'm also very cheap. So if I pay for something, I want to get my money's worth. Right? So I absolutely ravaged that all-you-can-eat buffet, and they had everything. Wings, chicken fingers, all that good stuff. Desserts, brownies, cupcakes, cookies. I ate so much Magnum. I'm honest to God still full right now. I can't believe that I'm sitting here 24 hours later and I'm still full from that. But watching with a group presented some pretty interesting situations for me. First of all, a couple of those commercials. When that Trump commercial hit for the justice reform, oof. That was awkward.
Did it go over well there? Or?
Well, no, yeah, it went over well with the people. I mean, first of all, anyone who doesn't like Trump, you're just going to keep your mouth shut. So I'm just sitting there. I mean, you clearly know what's about to happen. I'm not trying to start a fight with anyone. I'm not trying to get into that conversation. The dude's being a peach. He's a scumbag. We can have the conversation. I can call you an idiot to your face. We can get into it and make it political. And but I have tact and class, and I know where that – and I have foresight, so I know where that conversation's going to go. So I just shut up. Because it's not a team thing. I'm not – anyway, so it hit. And, I mean, people, lots of cheers and whistles. There were no boos. People just – you just took it. You were just like, all right, well, cool. You can have your guy and you're that moment. But it was, again, being in that situation, definitely a different experience. But also, the anthem hit. When the national anthem played, everyone got out of their seats and took their hats off and put their hands over their heart. And I was just like, wait a minute. I didn't – because if I'm at home and the anthem hits, I'm not standing up and putting my hand. I don't do that. Is there a number of people? Well, if it's more people, if it's more than four people in a room and you're watching the anthem and the game, you have to stand up for the anthem. Also, I thought politics were supposed to be out of sports. There was a lot of that last night.
Hashtag stick to sports, right?
Well, there was obviously the pregame, which we always have, the paid for patriotism that goes back to post 9/11. Then you had Trump's commercial. And then you had the justice reform stuff and the cop shooting stuff. The stuff that Kaepernick was protesting against.
Can't forget Bloomberg.
Bloomberg, right. There's a whole lot of politics last night on both sides.
By the way, if you weren't paying attention, the end of the Super Bowl halftime show, pretty damn political.
Very political.
And I don't know how many people picked up on it.
Oh, yeah, the cages. The makeshift cages.
The kids in cages. Yeah. The Puerto Rican flag with Born in the USA.
Yeah.
By the way, Puerto Ricans are American, whether you like it or not.
Yeah, a lot of dead Puerto Ricans, too, because our president didn't feel like doing his job.
Well, that you know, you talked about the anthem and the paid patriotism. There's a video that the Miami Herald has gotten.
Oh, I saw it. You see it? Did you watch it?
I did. Yeah. Of the guy, who screams and yells yeah. about respecting the anthem and yeah. how players who kneel are sons of you-know-whats.
Yeah.
Dancing and fixing his tie while his wife
making rand. Oh, his wife stood fast the
yeah,
whole time.
Yeah, with her hand at her
yeah,
heart.
Yeah, because this she's guy, an immigrant who's happy to be here.
He's who leading the band. Yeah. He's yeah. got his hands in the
insane.
Air.
It was
he's
insane.
Moving his chair
it was
around.
Insane. Looked like Mick Jagger.
Yes,
he was like pointing at people and saying like, "You like that? Yeah, yeah."
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
insane. It was insane.
What happened to respect the anthem?
Yeah, I don't. It's why I don't scream Knights at the Knights games. I've been a Knights season ticket holder. Since season one. Now, I don't talk about it. You'll never hear me be like, respect this. No, I buried friends at Fort Bragg. Like, I've went through it.
You've been through it.
I have my opinions on this country, and I love it very much. So I don't make a big deal about it. I don't think I've ever talked about it on the air. But no, I don't scream Knight at the Knights games when people do, because you're waiting for it. You're thinking about it. You love to hear the ring of it after you say it and see the expression on the away fan's face. Like, oh, my God, they're so shocked. Yeah, Vegas, baby. No, yeah. You're showing up the anthem. You can argue with me all you want. You can say we're not, but we are. Now, that's a minor issue. Also, it's a minor example, which is why I don't bring it to the air. Right.
Yeah,
it's not something that I need to rant on.
It's
not something. Right. It's not something I need to rant on. It's not something I need to even like let you guys know that it's a part of my life. Like, that's not an opinion that I need to share. But when Donald Trump is talking through the anthem and pointing and gyrating, and this is also a guy that was filmed a couple years ago of singing the anthem, and he didn't know the words.
Yes.
Clearly didn't know the words to our anthem. Third graders know where Kansas City, what state that resides in. It's Missouri, and third graders know the anthem words. Listen, I don't talk about that guy a lot on the show for good reason. Obviously, you can say triggered, you can say whatever you want, you can say whatever you want, right?
It's called
the
reason,
hypocrisy. Right, exactly. And I love the country, but I did find it odd last night, the amount of politics. And you know what? I probably wouldn't have noticed it if I wasn't in a room full of all different people. I was just in my house, it just would have been fine. I would have ignored it. I would have put on my blinders. I wouldn't have felt it in the that's what I normally do.
Yeah. And I, you know, the thing is I am political, right? Like, I follow politics very closely. Me personally.
No, we both are. I'm just saying I don't bring it to the air.
I would like to see the Super Bowl not be a political event, right? Like, I don't care what side you're on.
Not even the Super Bowl. How about we just do away with the anthem in general at sporting events?
But the thing is, like you went to a party last night.
Yeah.
I was invited to a couple parties.
Right.
Right. You show up at this party. Maybe you don't know 20 of the 25, 30 people at this party. You're not talking politics with them.
Right.
All of a sudden, you see kids in cages or a justice reform ad about an unarmed or or plainclothes officer killing.
Also, the hypocrisy.
The president of Anquan Boldin.
Right. The hypocrisy of highlighting that while blackballing Kaepernick out of this league and trying to rewrite history. Like, oh, now it's all good. No, it's not really all good, because a 29-year-old who took the San Francisco 49ers to the 2013 Super Bowl minus a goal line stand, would have been Super Bowl MVP.
Yes.
Right? Clearly can play in this league. I think an overall career average, it's a good overall career average. I haven't had the Kaepernick argument in a little while. I don't have the stats right in front of me. But anyone who suggests that man couldn't be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm saying 3-4 years ago when he left the league.
Yeah.
You're out of your mind. And he was he's out of the league for the exact things that were highlighted last night in the commercial. And it's a great point. I don't really want those feelings when I'm in a room full of people I don't know.
Yes.
Because it got real testy for a second when the Trump commercial hit, and again, the people who were anti-Trump just shut up because they have real emotions and they feel very passionately about it, and they acknowledge that yes, you all feel passionately about your pro-Trump. That's fine. So are we. We just don't want to be loud about it because we know where it can go. We know how we feel, and we know how you feel, and that's 2020 America. And you better be careful with it.
Well, I just want all that stuff out of the game.
I agree.
I'm not stick to sports guy. But you know what? The Super Bowl is one of the few things in this country that brings everybody together.
Yep. And we saw
divide people.
I agree. And
on
didn't
both
we
sides.
And didn't we see, and that's a great point. And didn't we see that last night with the way the Super Bowl kicked off? First of all, pro wrestling is clearly back, baby. The Rock kicking off the festivities, Ric Flair with the woos, and if you really watch pro wrestling, George Kittle hitting them with the Cierro Miedo, which is the no fear, zero fear from Pentagon of AEW wrestling. I'm telling you, pro wrestling was everywhere last night, which was great to see. It was, you guys know I'm a pro wrestling fan, so I definitely enjoyed that little tip of the cap. But the celebration that kicked off the show, Magnum, the NFL 100 honors, Joe Montana on the same field as Tom Brady, on the same field as Roger Staubach. I mean, with Jim Brown next to Lawrence Taylor. That was badass. We have been football fans our whole lives. To see all of those dignitaries, to see all of those champions on the same field. Also, didn't it feel like poetry? Like, didn't it feel right? All of these NFL 100 people there to see Pat Mahomes. And I know we've been going hard on Pat Mahomes, but you can't not. It's a historical day. It feels like, as you said, a passing of a torch.
I really liked the open. I thought the NFL really did a good job with all the great players, the young guys in the league today. Ray Lewis was glad he didn't start stabbing the kid on the hood of the car, but you know, it was a really good opening. You know, have the tribute to Kobe with everybody lining up on the 24-yard line. I mean, it was just a really good Super Bowl, minus all the political nonsense.
Well, I just got a text from my mom. You know, she loves the show. Family members, too bad so much political crap on your show. Is it really your place to express your opinions about politics and Trump and Kaepernick? Yes, because politics was brought into the show last night in ways that it never has been before. And that's the reality of this world, is dialogue and conversation. And that's what happened last night, watching in a group full of all of those people. It was felt. I guarantee you, if you were watching with family members and maybe you're split, you know what I mean? We talk about this with the anthem, because the anthem now brings up a lot of those feelings, right? Especially when the president is out there mocking it and pointing and not doing literally anything, clearly not paying attention. So that comes on, what, 2 years ago when Donald Trump, as you said, Magnum, called NFL players who kneeled sons of blanks? I'm not making it political. I very rarely talk about that clown. There's no reason for me to. There's no reason for me to, but he so often talks about sports, and sports and politics have never been more intertwined. And Magnum, you and I both remember a time when you didn't sing the anthem before sporting events. It would be nice to get back to that, because I don't know where that happens. They don't do it at the UFC.
Yeah,
they don't do it at a lot of different sporting events.
By the way, went to a soccer game in Japan, professional soccer game.
Yeah, no anthem.
No anthem.
Yeah.
When I went to the hockey game in Sweden last year,
no anthem.
No anthem.
Yeah, they don't do it.
Because they're not nationalists.
Exactly. Well said, Magnum. All right, quick break. We'll be right back here on the Mac Attack. All right, we are back here on the Mac Attack. Wanted to get into the Vegas Golden Knights a little bit. Won't be able to do it, but 365-9200, 365-9200. That is the number you got to call. You want to win tickets to Opium. Got a little backed up, but we're still going to give them away. It's the end of the show. All you got to do is be the fifth caller and tell us who the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs was the last time they won a Super Bowl. Not this Super Bowl. We're talking about their last Super Bowl. Who was the head coach of the Kansas City Chiefs when they won their last Super Bowl? Call in 365-9200, be caller 5, and you got two tickets to see Opium out at the Cosmopolitan. All right, we are going to be back here tomorrow. We'll get into more, a little bit more Super Bowl talk, some odds and ends, wrap up the NFL season, look ahead to the XFL, and of course, we'll get into our Vegas Golden Knights as the playoff push begins. We'll see you tomorrow, friends.